We are in Gimel Amud Beis. Right, Taisus Yachol Shani Marba. You go across to the Gemara and go down 1.5 lines. So the Braisa just told us how we know that Arias and Saras and Saras are Pater from Yibum. Now the Gemara has a Havamina that perhaps it has nothing to do with being the brother's wife. Perhaps there's an Isser called Saras Erva. Right? Maybe the Isser is not the fact he's a brother's wife, which we've been stressing all along. But maybe any woman that was once that is a co-wife of an erva, even at the time of her husband's death, even if they're not related, that means there's a person that's not related to Reuven who married his daughter and married a different wife, and that he died, maybe Reuven is banned from marrying that wife. Now, the way the Braisa expresses the Havamina is by saying as follows. Yachol shani marba av sheish arayas chamuris meilu. Maybe I should include even the 6 arayas that are stricter than these, meaning besides the 15, there are another 6. Now, those 6 cannot marry Reuven's brother. They can only marry a stranger. Let's say Reuven's mother. Reuven's mother became widowed and married another man. And then that man had another wife, and that man died. Maybe Reuven shouldn't be able to marry his mother's co-wife, even though it's not a question of Yibum, it's not a question of a brother's wife, it's a question of being a Tsaras Erva. Now, if the Isser is Tsaras Erva, then the other 6 Arayas that a brother can't marry would also have a Tsaras Erva, because it would have nothing to do with marrying a brother. See, the way we set it up, it's the 15 Arayas that could marry Reuven's brother. There are 6 more Arayas that can't marry Reuven's brother. They can marry other people, but they can't marry Reuven's brother. If the Isser is brother's wife, so then the halacha of Tsaras Erva would be limited to the 15. But if the Isser is Tsaras Erva in essence, meaning the fact that they're a co-wife of an Erva, regardless of who the husband is, so then even the 6 Arayas, their Tsara would be Usser. But the Mishnah only said 15. Maybe we should say 21. I should include the 6 Arayas that are stricter than these 15, because they can't even marry a brother. That their tzara should be usher as well. How do we know that it's only because they're the brother's wife? Maybe there's an isser called tzaras erva. That's what Litzroy is teaching me. Any tzaras erva, regardless who the husband was, is not allowed to be married. A co-wife of an erva is usher to the person, regardless of who the husband was. And for the Braisa Amrit, Ma'achais Isha Miyuchada She Erva, B'chayavim Azdai Nekaris. Right, the source is Achais Isha. She's an Erva, and Amazin gets Karis, Vashu Yigasa Chatas, and Ashaygi gets Chatas. The Efshir Linasi La'achim, and she has the possibility of marrying Reuven's brother. Vasura Liyaba, B'tzarasa Avsura. So the case of Achais Isha is an Erva that could marry the brother. So since Achais Isha is the source, you can't say it's any Tsaras Erva. It's only the Tsaras Erva that marries the brother. Because the Raya is, it's from Achais Isha where we learned Aleha means in a place of mitzvah. And that's where the Torah taught us the halacha of Tsaras Erva. If the Torah wanted to teach us an Isra of Tsaras Erva, it would have left Yibum out. It wouldn't have said Aleha. It would have just said, any Tsaras Erva is Usr. It doesn't say that. It says, any Tsaras Erva in a place of Yibum is Usr. Because the choice of Erva was Achais Isha, who could marry a brother, and the Torah wrote the word Aleha to tell me it's talking about a case of Yibum. So Avko, she Erva, v'chayav, mazdoi nekaras, v'shigas achatas, v'ev shirli nasilachim, and has the possibility to marry the guy's brother. Then we say, v'asur liyavam, and the Torah said, Aleha, Tsaras Asura, the Atsara is Asur. Yatsu Sheish Arayas Chamuras Meilu. It excludes the 6 that can't marry a brother. Hail the Avshal and Asil Achim. So it's not included in Achais Isha. But if you look at the words of Achais Isha, the Torah said, don't marry your wife's sister, but it's a case of Yibum. and don't marry her tzara. That means the Torah specifically picked an erva that could marry your brother and said, don't marry her even if there's yibum. If the Torah meant an isra of tzara's erva, irregardless of whether there is yibum or not, the Torah should have said tzara's erva in a different case. Why did the Torah pick tzara's erva in a case of a wife's sister who marries your brother? Because the Torah said Allaha. To tell me that the isra tzara's erva is not an isra in itself. It's an isra because it's a brother's wife. Hayo di afshali nasi la'achim tzareseyim l'taras. She'ein tzara ela ma'ach. The tzara's erva is only because it's your brother's wife without the mitzvah of yibum. Again, here the Brice is speaking out what we've been trying to stress this last week. Tzara's erva is not an isra in itself. Tzara's erva is an isra because it's your brother's wife, and the Torah removed the mitzvah of yibum. How do I know that? Because the source of tzara's erva is a case of a wife's sister who can marry your brother, and the Torah wrote the word Allah to say there's no mitzvah of yibum. That means the Torah described tzara's erva. It gave tzara's erva the properties of being usher because it is your brother's wife. That's the case the Torah gave me. If tzara's erva would be an essence of isser because it's your wife's, erva's co-wife, nothing to do with whether the husband was a brother or not, why would the Torah pick a case of achais isha in the mitzvah of yibum? The Torah should have just picked a different case and said, literally, that the tzar of an erva is usher. Doesn't say that. It says it by a wife's sister who could marry your brother, and the Torah said the word aleha, that she is married to your brother. That's what the word aleha came from the Xerah Shavah. To tell me that the Israel of a tzar's erva is not an essence isra of its own. It's because it's your brother's wife, and there's no mitzvah of yibum, so she is the erva of Eishes Ach. Let's catch up with Rashi. Dr. Rashi, that their tzara should be usher to marry to this person. Since the Torah absolved him from the bond to his wife's sister, took away the mitzvah of yibum, so she's like an eshesach that has children. Meaning there's no mitzvah of yibum, and once there's no mitzvah of yibum, there's an iser erva. She becomes erva's eshesachicha. Ava ba'alma, in a regular case, when she's not a tzara's erva, lo rami iser eshesach, the Torah removed the iser of eshesach from a yivama, the shar yaleh. Back to the braisa. Zok de Gemara Vayta. Einish Azara Shemanu. That tells me where the Torah told me don't do it. Right? It does not say that there's a punishment for it. It says, do not do Yavama, not to your wife's sister, and not to her tzara. Azara Einish Minayan. How do I know if a person is Miyabim, the tzara's erva, is Miyabim his brother's wife, that's a co-wife to his erva? How do I know that he gets karas? Mekra, at the end of the parsha, it says, ki kol ashiyas mikol ha-te'evos, whoever does any of the abominations mentioned in the parsha before, will get karas. Period. Rashi, ayinish minayin em yibim erva tzarasa. How do I know that this karas, if he's miyabim the erva or tzara? This is the end of the braisa. This braisa went down almost a whole amud. It's a little less than an amud. And it taught us the source of how do I know yibum doesn't apply to an erva, and how do I know that yibum doesn't apply to a tzara. That was the braisa that we learned so far. Now the Gemara has a double problem. It's going to ask two questions and then try to solve one at a time. Frank the Gemara. Time of Daminan. I'm sorry. Time of the Kasim Rachman Aleha. Bottom line is, the source that there's no mitzvah of Yibum to a wife's sister. Again, two brothers married two sisters. Shimon died without children. Reuven cannot be Miyabim, his brother's wife, because the Torah wrote Aleha. Means had the Torah not written Aleha, my logic would have been that it's a mitzvah of Yibum, and that pushes away the fact that it's your wife's sister. That's what I would have said. Because the Braisa says, how do I know you can't be Miyabim, your wife's sister? And the brides had to find the pasuk that you can't be miyabim your wife's sister. That means without the pasuk, I would have allowed the person to be miyabim his wife's sister. That's what the brides seems to insinuate. If the brides has to find the pasuk, that means without the pasuk, I would have gone in a different direction. I would have said that since the Torah allows yibum, yibum would even apply to a wife's sister. Right. The brides had to bring a pasuk of aleha to tell me not that way. So time is the kasa rachmano aleha. The reason I say a person can't be miyabim his wife's sister is because the Torah wrote aleha. Halav hochi, if not for this, I would have said a wife's sister can have yibum. My time, why would I think that way? We have a rule in the Torah that a positive mitzvah can push away a negative mitzvah. So the positive mitzvah of yibum can push away a prohibition of marrying a wife's sister. We got two problems. That rule that a positive can push away a negative only makes sense when it's a lav on its own. An asay versus a lav. Typical case, which we will talk about in length, a person can wear, biblically, he can wear shatnas and his tzitzis, because tzitzis needs two strings of blue wool. The beged can be made of linen, and you tie on the wool strings to your linen beged, you're wearing shatnas. But the Torah said, and this is, we'll see soon psukim, that the mitzvah asay of tzitzis can push away the lav of shatnas. That's esa deichalais esa. A positive commandment can push away a negative prohibition. But that's only when it's lais esa greda, when it's a lav on its own. Lais esa shiyesh v'kara midachi. But over here, marrying a wife's sister has the punishment of karas. Would you logically say that the mitzvah of yibum will allow you to transgress a prohibition that has karas? Isn't that taking Esa Deichalois Esa beyond its scope, beyond its allowances? That's a big extension. Why would you ever think that a person can do yibum to his wife's sister? It's a chorus. The rule of Esa Deichalois Esa, as will be discussed in the next two blot, is limited to an asay versus a lois esa. But to an asay versus chorus? To allow a love that has chorus? Where did you ever see that? Number one. What is the source that an asay can push away a laisessa? So there are two questions that the Gemara is now going to have to deal with. We'll deal with question number two first, and then we'll deal with question number one. Question number two is, what is the source that asay can push away a laisessa? It's a commonly accepted fact, but what is the source of it? And this is the sugya in Shas, where the Torah goes through the source of Esa Deichalois Esa. And secondly, even if you can prove to me Esa Deichalois Esa, which will take the Gemara almost two blot to do, but still, that's a regular Lois Esa. Where do we ever find that the Torah allowed for Nasei to be Deichakaris? And here, you're saying that without the Pasuk Aleha, we would let this person do Yibum, which means violate an Isser Erva of Karis. Where do you have a source for that? Why would I need a Pasuk to tell me no? Rashi. From the Yavam, I don't know exactly what Rashi is saying. My time, but let me Karis Koyalo. The chorus, doesn't he have a punishment of chorus? Da'asi asa the yibum medakas loisessa. The mikoy alfinan, da'asi asa medakas loisessa, because of Mepharish also. We learned that out from a pasuk. Now, there's a famous Ramban. The Ramban talks.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Okay, see, I think one of the things that may be bothering everyone is that, you know, essays can't be taken unless she's precarious, right? But the essay here, just like we have, is not just an essay. Here is Lahakim Shem Lahakim, right? Maybe that in itself, it's greatness. For example, we have things called as a Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh is Deicha Shabbos, right? What do you mean? The answer is, the essence of Pikuach Nefesh is so great, right? So why can't we think that Lahakim, a person's, what's the whole purpose of life is to have a next generation, right? Without it, what's that pasuk in the embrace, whatever the pasuk is, right? Maybe there's greatness in Lahakim, Shem Lahakim.
Okay, can I ask you a question? would you logically say Pekuach Nefesh is Zecher Shabbos, or do I need a pasuk?
I logically think it.
The Gemara learns it after B'chai Behem.
What's life all about?
Again. Let me ask you a question. Can a person do Gila Arias to save his life?
Okay. No.
Okay, so why can he do Shabbos to save his life? Gila Arias is many times Kuris. Shabbos is a Skila. So why is he allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save a life?
Skila's worse.
So why is he allowed to be Mechal Shabbos? If he can't do Gila Arias, which is Kuris, so why can he do Shabbos, which is a Skila?
Awfully quiet.
The answer is, it's a pasuk. The answer is, it's a pasuk. The pasuk says you can do it for Shabbos, and the pasuk says you can't do it for Gila Arias.
So let's take it here.
Same thing here. Esther Deichelai Sessa is a rule. It's learned out from a pasuk. Logically speaking, we don't say such a thing. Now, the Torah allowed it. The source only talks about a Lysas in Greta. Doesn't talk about a Lysas in Yesh Bekaris. Now you want to use your logic to expand it. Now the Gemara will try logics later on. But the bottom line is you can't come across and logically expand it unless you find me some pasuk. You know, we don't make these things up. We can't violate a chorus based on logic. If not in the pasuk, I wouldn't be able to do Esa like Eliza Esa either. There's got to be a source. Now, there is a Ramban. There is a Ramban that says, why is Esther Deichelai Sessa? And I want to clarify, because I'm going to be jumped on right away. We don't need a logic. The Torah says Esther Deichelai Sessa, whether we understand it or not. But the Ramban tries to give us an understanding. Now, I want to make clear, it's not that the understanding is the reason we're doing it. The reason we do Esther Deichelai Sessa is because there's a pasuk. But once the pasuk revealed to me, the Ramban gives us the logic behind it. And he says the following. Keeping prohibitions is based on your fear of Hashem. Fear of punishment, fear of Hashem. I won't eat pig because I'm afraid to eat pig. I won't steal because I'm afraid to steal. I'm afraid. I don't want to get punished by the Rabbanu Shlalom. So I'm afraid. And since I'm afraid, either I'm afraid of the punishment, or afraid of Hashem, straight, whatever, what Madrega person's on, he doesn't do Averis because he's afraid. Doing mitzvahs is also included, I love Hashem. So I go out and do positives. That is Ava. I am doing a mitzvah, I'm putting on my tefillin because I love Hashem. Granted, I'm also afraid I'll be punished for not putting on tefillin, I'm maskim. But usually doing an action to be proactive shows a love. Prohibitions show a fear. Dr. Ramban, the Torah is telling me that if I'm transgressing the Isser because of my love of Hashem, the Torah allows it to be done. Again, I can't apply this on my own. I have to follow the rules of the Torah. But the logic of it is that the Torah is saying being proactive shows love. Prohibitions show fear. Love is greater than fear. Therefore, the Torah says to transgress a prohibition when it comes in conflict with a positive is okay. The Torah allowed it. I would have never done it logically because Ava is Daichayira. That's what the Ramban explains. that since I don't do prohibitions because I'm afraid of Hashem, and I the reason I do mitzvahs proactively is because a fear of Hashem allowed to. So the Meshech Chochma explains this Ramban as follows. A person who transgresses a prohibition gets a terrible punishment. It's worse than not doing an asay. The punishment for transgressing a law is worse because he's going against the will of Hashem. But if he's doing it because that's Hashem's will to do the positive mitzvah, so he's not doing against Hashem, he's doing it for Hashem. And since he's doing it for Hashem, the Torah allows him to do it. That's how the Ramban explains, the Meshech Chochma explains the Ramban. Because we know the punishment of transgressing a law is worse than not doing an asay. The punishment of eating pig is worse than not making Kiddush Friday night. But if Av is greater, why isn't the punishment more? The answer is simple. If a person eats pig, he's rebelling against Hashem in a greater way than a person who doesn't make Kiddush. One is he's proactively rebelling against Hashem. But if he's doing it because he's keeping Hashem's mitzvah, then that's not a rebellion. So the Torah is allowing it. Again, logically, we would do nothing. It's because the Torah allowed it, we're understanding that the Torah is saying that if he's transgressing the law because of his love of Hashem to do zaseh, the Torah allowed it. That's how the Ramban explains the Esed HaChalaisas. And again, very important to know, these things, we don't base our halachas on these understandings. It's once the Torah gave us a pasuk that we try to define what the pasuk is teaching us. Okay.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Can I ask just a general question about this general rule?
Please.
Juxtaposition. Everything in the Torah has to be juxtaposed with something. Every verse is next to something else. Is this applied every time we have mitzvahs mentioned in consecutive verses? The Torah is packed, and various sections have more mitzvahs than others, but do we apply this rule every time?
Well, you're ahead of me. You're ahead of me. I never got to that Gemara yet that talks about juxtaposition of Sukkim. You're in the next piece of Gemara. I just said the concept of Esed HaChalaisas. I haven't brought a source yet. I think you're jumping on the next piece of Gemara that talks about juxtaposition of Sukkim. So, if you don't mind me getting
it. I thought we had already.
No, I did not.
I thought we had already mentioned
it. I did not. Dr. Gemara Dechsef. Leibsil b'shatnas. The Torah wrote a lav, do not wear shatnas. And right next to it, it said, Gedilim tasalacha. Make yourself tzitzis. Gedilim means, braided threads. Tzitzis. Right. V'amar Rav Lazer, smuchim and atayra minayin. How do I know that one of the ways to darshan the Torah is the juxtaposition of psukim? Shenemar, smuchim la'ad la'olam. They are, the Torah is, how does he translate those words? They are close forever.
Joined together.
Forever.
Joined
together forever. Asuyim be'emes v'yashar. They're done with truth and properness. So this is the source that we can darshan smuchim. We're still not finished. V'yamar Rav Sheshes, Amar Rav Blazim, Mishim Rav Blazim and Azariah. Minayin liyavama shenaflu ve'mukesh chin she'en chayis minaysa. How do I know yavama that falls in front of a mukesh chin, meaning her brother-in-law is suffering from boils? How do I know that we don't muzzle her? We force the person to give chalitza. We don't let him do yibum, which is the preferable mitzvah according to this Gemara. Shenemar leisachsim shor b'dishay lesamach leikiyeshu achim yachdav. Do not muzzle the shor by its threshing. And right next to it says yibum to tell me that sometimes we don't muzzle the avama, meaning we listen to her claims. Okay, now, the Gemara is going to continue, and at the end of the day, the Gemara is going to learn out that this juxtaposition of Sukkim teaches us that Esa is like a Leis Esa. because the Torah allows sitters, even though it is shatness. Now, Harvey is asking, is this a rule across the Torah? It's going to be a machloikas tanoim as we go along, but the Tana that says we do this is saying, yes, that this is a rule according to the Torah, that we can always use the juxtaposition of psukim to teach us halacha. Now, sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't. Why don't we every time? Because maybe sometimes there's no halacha to learn from it. I don't know. But the rule applies in every juxtaposition of psukim. That is true. Now, I agree with you that in, and I'm going to make up this percentage, that in 80% of the Torah, or 90% of the Torah, we don't dash in the juxtaposition of the psukim. The answer is, I don't know why not, when yes and when not. I don't know the answer to that question. But it is one of the ways that we dash from psukim, the fact that the Torah juxtaposed these two psukim that seemingly have nothing to do with each other. Rashi. Samachlay, and right next to it, it says Gedilim Tasalacha. V'darshina smuchim, v'sharinan kalayim betzitzis. And that permits to have shatness and tzitzis. Alma as yasei, v'dachi lo yisesa. So we see a positive commandment pushes away a negative. She'en chaisman, ein saisman taneseha, l'kaifa l'yisyabimla. We don't muzzle her. Her claims to force her for Yibum, Ela Kaifin Oisai V'chaylitz. We force him to do Chalitza. Chaisman Lishna the Krokanukat. Rashi wants to know, we don't muzzle people. So what do you mean we don't muzzle her? We never muzzle people. Dr. Rashi, we're using the Lashon of the Pasuk because then Yaluflay Miloy Sachsan. We mean, tell her to keep quiet. It doesn't mean literally muzzle. We're using the word muzzle because that's the Pasuk that teaches us, Leisachsum Shar B'dishai. The Samachlay, Almudashina smuchim. But Gabi Klein Betzitzis, Nami Darshinan. So by Klein Betzitzis, we also darshin smuchim. And this is where the Torah reveals to me that we're allowing a positive to push away a negative. This is how the Torah teaches to us. Now, we have a rule. This is going to come up. That every time the Torah teaches me something, how do I apply it everywhere else? The answer is, this is a prototype example. Unless you can differentiate between your example and that example, it becomes a source. So, is Kalai and Betzitzis different than any other case? If you can come up with a reason that it is, this can be a source. But as long as the Torah told me one place that a positive pushes away a negative, this becomes a source to the whole Torah. Unless you can come up with a reason why this should be different than any other place. And the Gemara does not, at this point, have any reason, so therefore this remains a source. The source is the Torah permitted shatnas by tzitzis. Now, the Achronim have a question over here, which is a major machloikas on how to deal with it. And that is, my question they have is that, how can we say Esa Daicha Lois Esa by Yibum? How can we even entertain that the Esa is Daicha Lois Esa? The problem is that he has a mitzvah asay of Yibum, and he has a prohibition of whatever Erev it is. The woman, seemingly, has no mitzvah asay of Yibum. She doesn't have a mitzvah to do Yibum. She is the subject of Yibum. She's not obligated to Yibum. So why should he, but she has a lav. She has a lav, right, of what's the name again? She has a lav of marrying an erva. A erva is both prohibited to the man and to the lady. The mitzvah Yibum is seemingly only on the man. How can his mitzvah push away her love? That's the question that early Achrayim ask. So therefore, one of them wants to prove from here that Reuven's asay can push away anybody's love, not only his own, which is a very big chiddush. He has an asay, she has a love. His asay can push away his love and her love. Rabbi Akiva Eiger uses this as a proof that the mitzvah of Yibum is on her as well. That not only does he have a mitzvah of Yibum, but she has a mitzvah of Yibum. And therefore, they both have a mitzvah asay, and together their mitzvah asay pushes away each one's love. His mitzvah pushes away her love, and her mitzvah pushes away her love. And that's a big chiddush, which Rebbe is expanding the mitzvah of Yibum to include the woman, which, simply put, one would not say that. That's Rebbe Kivager's understanding. There is a...
Rabbi, can you repeat that? Rabbi, can you repeat that one more time? Her love is not to marry someone other than him? What is exactly the nature of her love?
We're talking about a case when there's an erva, right? Let's say Shimon and Reuven married sisters, right? A woman, a wife's sister is not allowed to marry her brother-in-law, just like the brother-in-law is not allowed to marry her. Right? Meaning the Isser Erva is on both the man and on the lady. He's not allowed to live with his wife. I'm sorry?
But the Torah doesn't state it that way, does it?
Oh, so there's a pasuk. Very good. There's a pasuk. There's a pasuk that says that, that every Isser in the Torah that applies to a man applies to a woman as well. It's a pasuk that concludes. You're right. The Torah says do not live with your wife's sister. But there's another pasuk that says that the women are just as commanded as the men. It's a pasuk.
Doesn't that apply to all mitzvahs and then we exempt the time-bound ones? That doesn't mean that an obligation on him towards her also applies her towards him. Doesn't that generally refer to his obligations toward God? Or am I missing something?
Let me try to explain it again, because I'm not really understanding what you're asking. Every law in the Torah applies, except for two, equally to men and ladies. So even though the Torah says, do not live with your wife's sister, and if you do, you get karis, she gets karis as well. Because she is doing the same isser as he is. And if they did a b'shagig, he brings a chatas, and she brings a chatas. By mitzvahs aseis, some apply only to one party, not to the other party. Simply reading the parsha of Yibum, it seems to say it's an obligation of the man's brother to marry his brother's wife. It doesn't seem to be an obligation on her to do Yibum. She is the subject of his Yibum. Simply put, there's no mitzvah asay on her. So the question becomes, if she does not have that positive commandment, how could we allow her to live with her brother-in-law, meaning her sister's husband, based on asay daichalaisasa, when she has no positive commandment and she has the negative commandment? Because she's not allowed to live with her sister's husband, but she has no mitzvah of Yibum. He has a mitzvah of Yibum. So you can entertain that his mitzvah of Yibum should push away her erva. But she has no mitzvah of Yibum. So how could you entertain that we should allow this and allow her to transgress a prohibition without having a positive commandment to push it away? That's the question. I hope I explained myself.
My thought was that the underlying principle that whatever applies to a man would also apply to a woman, except for whatever the exceptions are. I didn't understand that it would apply when the subject of the mitzvah is a man's relationship toward a specific woman. I didn't know how that general pasuk that would apply everything.
So Rebbe Kivager says what you say, that the same mitzvah that's on him is on her as well. Because of this question, Rebbe Kivager goes and says that the mitzvah of Yibum applies to man and woman alike. And therefore, she is keeping a positive commandment when she is the subject of this relationship. Based on this question, Rebbe Kivager expands the mitzvah of Yibum to include the woman as well. Not that she is just the subject of this relationship, but she has her own positive commandment to be that subject, to be involved in the act. That's what Rebbe Kivager says.
Is that a big chiddush?
It is, because
it seems to me like
again, I understand you, but to the way it's usually assumed, it ends up being a big chiddush, but that's what Rebbe Kivager proves from this question.
Okay.
Back to the Gemara. Zog the Gemara weiter. Amar Rabbi Yosef. Now this continues on in our quest for Esed Dachalos Esra. We really found it already, but we're going to see that there's a Mandiyamar, there's an opinion of a Tana that does not use juxtaposition of psukim to teach us any halacha. Yes.
I'm sorry, I was thinking it over. So that means if the man does not want to do Yibum, the woman cannot sit passively. She has to go to Beis Din or try to force him to do Yibum or Chalitza.
Again, according to Zisra B'Kiv Eger, a woman would have a mitzvah to have Yibum or Chalitza, correct?
So she should be actively involved.
Whatever that means. I mean, unfortunately, she's dependent on him. There's very little she can do. Right?
But should she pursue this logical ending?
She should want, according to Rabbi Eger, just like if you hold Yibum as preferable to Chalitza, she should be pursuing Yibum to the best of her ability.
Okay.
But he refuses. The Torah says we don't force him. The Torah says if he doesn't want to do Yibum, we move to option number two, which is Chalitza. And she can demand from Bezin that he give her Chalitza. Now, even if she didn't have a mitzvah, she could demand from Bezin for Chalitza, but she wants to get married. She wants to be free.
That's her option. That's optional. That's optional. But she's... Okay. So in other words, she is involved in getting this mitzvah done.
This is Rabbi Kiva Eger's Chiddush. Without Rabbi Kiva Eger, the world assumes that a woman does not have a mitzvah of Yibum. It's the man's decision if he wants to do Yibum. The woman is the subject of her. Now, if she doesn't want to do Yibum, since she wants to get married, she can demand Chalitza. But it's not that she gets a check on her chart when she gets it done. She does no obligation mitzvah-wise. Now, Harvey understood like Rabbi Kiva Eger, others don't, and Rabbi Kiva Eger is Mechadish that, no, she has a mitzvah and she gets a star on her chart, and a check on her chart when Yibum or Chalitza is done.
So does that mean that Rabbi Kiva is a Yachid on this? The world does not go according to him?
I don't take a poll. Many Achrayim disagree with Rabbi Kiva Eger. And they have different terutzim to this question, but I don't want to get involved in all the terutzim. But there's different terutzim to this question. The question's a great question. There's a Taisus that says clearly that Mayase cannot be Daicha Yurloi Sessa. And this Gemara seems to say his Asse is Daicha Herloi Sessa. So you have to understand why yes sometimes and why no sometimes. Rabbi Kivager's answer is, because over here she has an Asse as well. That's his way out. I just spoke out his answer. I didn't speak out other answers.
Okay, thank you.
Now, there is a Mandiyamar that does not darshan the juxtaposition of Sukkim. There is a Mandiyamar that doesn't. So according to him, we would have no source for Esed Echalais Esa. Because we just said that the source of Esed Echalais Esa is the fact that we darshan the juxtaposition of Leisob Shatnas and Gedilim Tasa. So now we're going to explain that in this case, everybody darshans the juxtaposition of psukim. B'yamar of Yosef. Afilu l'mandalei darish smukim alma. Even according to the one that regularly, across the Torah, does not darshan the psukim, the juxtaposition of psukim, the Mishnah Torah darish. In Dvarim, which is called Mishnah Torah, there he does use the juxtaposition of Sukkim. And the Gemara will explain why Dvarim is different. Meaning, so we have saved our answer. The answer is, we learn on Esa Daicha Lois Esa from Shatnas. That's written in Parshas Kisese, which is in Dvarim, and the Torah juxtaposes the mitzvah of Tzitzis and the Israel of Shatnas to tell me Esa Daicha Lois Esa. And even Rabbi Yehuda, who crossed the Torah, does not darshan smuchim, as we will see, but when it comes to Dvarim, to part Seder Dvarim, Chumash Dvarim, there he does darshan it. And this is in Dvarim. So therefore he darshans it. Now why doesn't he darshan it? Dar Rabbi Yehuda ba'alma loy darish. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't usually darish in juxtaposition of psukim to teach us halacha. Of a Mishnah Torah, darish. But he himself, in Dvarim, does. So that teaches me that even the opinions that don't use juxtaposition of psukim to teach me halacha, when it comes to Dvarim, they do. Rashi. The Mishnah Torah, darish. The high smuchim deklayim betitzis, the juxtaposition of shatness and titzis, klayim and shatness are interchangeable. The Mishnah Torah, who did the shinan, who is in Dvarim, but Darshinan, and we darshin it. Zok the Gemara Gaita. Where do we see Rabbi Yehuda does not darshin? How do I know Rabbi Yehuda does not darshin juxtaposition of psukim? The Tanya. Benazai Aymer. It says in the Pasuk, Nemar Machsheva Loischaya. One who engages in witchcraft should not be left alive. Rashi, Machsheva Loischaya is Beparshas Ve'elish Shmais. Sefer Elish Shmais. It's in Chumash Shmais. It's not in Parshas Shmais, it's in Parshas Mishpatim, but it's in Chumash Shmais. The Namar, and it says, right next to, right? Somebody has background noise, please mute yourself. The Namar, and it says, Kol Shaykhav and Behema Mois Yumas. Whoever has a relationship with an animal should get killed. Those two psukim are juxtaposed next to each other. Samcha in Yalai. The Torah juxtaposed these two psukim to tell me Machshayfa and Behema Beskila at Machshayfa Beskila. Just like the person who lives with the animal gets skila, the pasuk next to it is skila as well. That's what Ben Azai said. Amalai Rabbi Yehuda. For juxtaposition, you give a person skila. We don't use juxtaposition. Elod is a different drasha. Ivy and Daini are two different kinds of witchcraft. And they're included in the general prohibition of Machsheva. Right. The Loma Yatsu, why did the Torah specify them different than other forms of witchcraft? Lahokish Lahem, to compare all witchcraft to them. There it says clearly that one who engages in Ivy and Daini gets skila. Av Machsheva Biskila. All Machsheva gets skila. So here's Rabbi Yehuda that rejects the drasha of juxtaposition, and he has a different source. So here we have shown us Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of smuchin. And we will prove in a moment, we let it, that he does hold of it in Dvarim. Let's catch up with Rashi. So Rashi, Samcha Inyan Loi. Inyan HaParsha, the Inyan of a Parsha Hasmucha, Parshas Mechashev Eitzo Shaychev in Behema, the Gabi Adadik Siva, the juxtaposition because they're written next to each other. Machshev Elo Yischaya B'Sefer Elo Shmais, Mashrechev in Behema B'Skila, Dechsib B'Isha Nevas, L'Behema D'Meyem Bum. It says when a woman has a relationship with an animal, it says, D'Meyem Bum, their blood is in them. The whole D'Meyem Bum, B'Skila He. And we have a rule that every time it says D'Meyem Bum, it means Skila, the Gaminim Ivi Adaini, Dechsib Behem Yirgum Ois, Behu Yirgum Ois in D'Meyem Bum. Ivi Adaini says, stone them D'Meyem Bum. So the word D'Meyem Bum is a code word for Skila. Because of a juxtaposition, I'm going to give him a chash of skila. The skila she misa chamura mikulam. Mechlau machsheva haya. She never leischaya. It says all machsheva leischaya. So why did the Torah specify ayvi adaini? Lahakish aleim. Shazu mida b'tayra. This is a rule in darshining psukim. Kol davashaya mechlau. Anything that was included. V'yatzim b'nachlau lelamed. And was taken out of the rule to teach us. Loy lelamed alatzim yatzim. It's not only teaching us about itself, the Torah said Machsheva, and that included Ivy Adaini. Then the Torah specified Ivy Adaini. So the rule is, the Torah is picking to tell me that this is the rule for all Machsheva. Anything that was in a rule, and then the Torah specified about one, we say the Torah meant to specify about everything, every part of it. So therefore, this is the source that Machsheva gets Kila. But what we want from this Brisa is that Rabbi Yehuda rejected the drasha of juxtaposition. He said to Ben Azai, because it's juxtaposed, you're going to give a person skila? That means he rejects juxtaposition. Yet, of a Mishnah Torah, Minal of the Darish, and in Devarim, I can prove to you that he does Darish in them. Where? Litnan. Noisei Adam, Anusas Aviv, Umefutas Aviv. Anus is benai, amafut is benai. The Tanakam allows a person to marry a woman who had an extramarital, an out-of-wedlock relationship with his father or his son. Either his father forced himself on her, or persuaded her, or the same with his son, it is not an erva. Even though the father had lived with her, but it wasn't the father's wife. It was a father having a relationship out of wedlock. Therefore, a son can marry the woman his father had a physical relationship with, or even his son had a physical relationship. He cannot marry his son's wife, even if his son died. He cannot marry his father's wife, but he can marry this woman that had a physical relationship with his father out of wedlock, or his son out of wedlock. That's what the Tanakhama says. Rabbi Yehuda Eiser Banusas Aviv Mefutas Aviv. Rabbi Yehuda says, for a son that is true, but by a father, there's a pasuk that says that it's karis for a person to marry a woman that had a physical relationship with his father. V'yamar Abgidla Merav, my time with Rabbi Yehuda. Where did Rabbi Yehuda get this from? The Siv. La Yikach Ishis Eishis Aviv. It says a man should not marry his father's wife. And he shouldn't reveal, knaf means the cloak, but I don't know exactly how Artscroll translates it. Can I have some help?
Robe, nor shall he uncover the robe of his father.
The robe of his father. Knaf shiro aviv la yigala. It's a nice way of saying that a woman that had a relationship with his father, he shouldn't reveal. Now, it seems repetitious. He just said, Aishas aviv. Then Knaf Aviv seems to be a repetition. What is the Torah telling me? Isn't the woman that his father had a relationship, his father's wife? So how do I know it means an Anusa? Because I look up, what was the Parsha right before this? It's talking about a case of Anusa, when a person forced himself on a girl. And the next pasuk says, Le'igala Knaf Aviv. So the pasuk juxtaposed le'yigala knaf aviv to the parish of Anusa. V'samach lo'y le'yikach ish, period, v'gaymer. So that teaches me, the juxtaposition teaches me, that Anusa's aviv is aser. That this is Rabbi Yehuda. And he is learning out of halacha on juxtaposition. But didn't he tell Ben Azai a moment ago that you can't use juxtaposition to teach me halacha? Must be that even though he doesn't use juxtaposition the rest of the Torah, but in Devarim it's different. Why, we will see soon. But that's what we've proven. Therefore, going back to our case of Shatness, everybody would agree you use juxtaposition to teach me the halacha. Rashi. Noisi adam anusis aviv. Shlei nesra alav alamis, ela eishas aviv. The only woman that's prohibited to a man is his father's wife. Kedisiv. Ervas Aishas Avicha, the Aishas Mashmai, the Ishus the Kedushin, means through marriage. Anusas Benoi, Lav Kalasahi, that's not his daughter-in-law. The Ein Kala, El Mukadeshus, Beruya Luchupa. A Kala means one who was married. She doesn't have to have been consummated the marriage, but she had a marriage. Okay, now the Bach adds a Rashi here. So if you look at the Bach Gimel, he has a Rashi that we don't have. The Samach Lei LeYigach Ish, with the Shina Smuchim, the Banusa Mishtoi, a Mefuta Kanusa. It makes no difference if he forces himself or he persuades her. The Shtehem, Einam Betiris Ishus. Both are a relationship that's not a marital relationship. Maskana de Mosad Rav Gittel Beperik Naisan Al Anusa. That is spoken out in the 11th Perik, where the Gemara will speak out that Mefut and Anusa is the same. But we're not interested in that here now. All we were interested in proving is that Rabbi Yehuda Darshan's juxtaposition. Frek the Gemara of Rabbanon. Frek the Gemara of Rabbanon. Why don't they Darshan the juxtaposition? In fact, they always Darshan the juxtaposition of Sukkim. So why over here do they reject Rabbi Yehuda's juxtaposition? They don't learn Anusa's Aviv is Aser. Why not? If it would be juxtaposed, we would agree. But it's not really juxtaposed. There's a pasuk in between. It says Anusa. Then it has a line about taking your father's wife. Then it says Lo Yigal Knaf Aviv. They don't consider this a juxtaposition, and therefore they don't darshan it. So then what do they do with Layikachish? They got less knap of it. If they don't darshan it, so what do they do with that pasuk? So they say, B'shemeres yabim makasim medaber. The pasuk is talking about the father's brother's wife. Laver Allah b'shnei labim. The father's yavama. Meaning, the Torah is telling us that if a person marries his father's brother's wife, he transgresses an isser, which we already know, but it's an extra isser. Rashi, Rabbanu ni avasamachle ki zegamet hashtag loisamachle b'shemeres yavim loisamachle d'chsim loyikachishes eishes avim b'intayim. It says loyikachishes eishes avim in between. We'll continue Merit Hashem tomorrow.
Rabbi Yitzchak?
Yes.
Rabbi Yitzchak?
Yes.
Where is that Ramban? That Ramban you quoted, where is it?
I think it's an MR, but I'd have to find it for you.
If you could, that'd be grateful. Thank you.